us with our hands and praise him. Just make him feel so welcome in our midst tonight. The great shepherd, the chief shepherd, the Holy Spirit himself, the great pillar of fire, our Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We give glory and honor unto you tonight, Father. We welcome you in our midst, dear God. Oh, we reverence the great presence that is here. It makes our heart beat high with joy. Oh, God, we have recognized your visitation amongst us. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hosanna in the highest. Hallelujah. Hosanna to the King. Glory to your name. We thank you tonight, dear God. We look unto you, Lord, for divine leadership. We look unto you for divine inspiration. We look unto you for divine guidance tonight. Lord, for your great divine providence, that you will meet every need in here according to your riches tonight. That, Lord God, you will touch every heart. There will be a great deliverance seep through this place tonight. Hallelujah! Oh, God, your word will comfort in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Lord God, you would make it manifest tonight. You would make it visible among your people tonight. Oh, hallelujah. May you break every chain. May you drive back every doubt. May you drive back every spirit of darkness in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. May the power of the living God turn every sheep loose tonight. Hallelujah. That we can worship you in spirit and truth. Glory to your name, Lord. We thank you, Father. We give you honor and glory. We give you praise tonight. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Oh, wonderful Savior. How great thou art tonight, Lord. Oh, we thank you that you have come amongst us, Lord. We know something good is going to happen. Oh, God, we confess our sins, our shortcomings tonight. Let your blood be applied to our confession tonight, Lord. Oh, God, we are so unworthy of your goodness and your grace. But we thank you, Father, that you consider us, that you care for us, Lord. Oh, God, come amongst us tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, give strength to them that are weak, Lord. Lord God, may, oh, God, you give understanding to them that lack it tonight. May, oh, God, you provide for them that I need. May you give, oh, God, rest to them that are weary. Hallelujah. Light to them that is in darkness tonight. Hallelujah! You're the great I am that I am. Hallelujah! May, oh God, you manifest every redemptive name to show you are the great Redeemer in this hour of present tense redemption. Oh God, let your word be so personalized, Lord, to everyone. Let them draw by faith what they have need from that great fountain of seven spirits tonight. Oh, hallelujah! Whether they have need of Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, hallelujah, Jehovah Shammah, whatever they have need of tonight, may they draw from that fountain, Lord. May that great ocean flow to them tonight. Full in their cup, Lord. Let it run over tonight. Oh, God, we thank you and we praise you. We just commit ourselves unto thee, asking, Lord God, that you just have your way amongst us tonight. May you bless each and every one that is in your divine presence. We'll not fail to give you the praise and the honor and the glory. For we ask these mercies and blessings in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Blessed be his wonderful name. Amen. He's worthy to be praised, isn't he? Amen. I'd like to invite your attention tonight to the book of Exodus, chapter 4. We're just trying to take a little portion of this book of Exodus. It's a book of redemption. It reveals redemption by power and redemption by blood. Type of what's happening in this day, and God made these things examples, types and shadows, that we could look and see and understand the great events that is taking place in his economy at this time. We know how to positionally be in channel and receive all that we have need of him, because in the Exodus is when the I am that I am comes down. Amen. He's all things to us tonight. Amen. All that we have, all that we have need of, all that we are looking for him to do for us, he's here to do it. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. See it, the Almighty. He's from everlasting to everlasting. We can do all things through him that strengthens us tonight. Amen. Everything we have need of is in him. There is nothing outside of him. Don't you look any other place. Amen. It's all provided for us in Jesus Christ. We are already blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. He is the promised land tonight. Amen. Blessed be his name. And I want to read Exodus 4, 1 to 9. Maybe we're going to start there and then we're going to read different places throughout the message. The Lord will lead us. We want to welcome all that is in his presence, and we so appreciate this great atmosphere of the Holy Spirit that is here. Just lift our faith and expectation. We can draw from him what we have need of tonight. Exodus 4. And Moses answered and said, he's still here in the presence of that great pillar of fire. We've been reading about it. We've been preaching the last two services. But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. It's always something about people, you know, they could accept natural things, but when someone have to testify of the supernatural, you know, it seems to bring questions. But the devil is always trying to interrupt the program of God, trying to hinder the word from coming forth and bringing forth that deliverance. And that is in need. Amen. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. You know, look, get in the picture. Break into the scene here. He's in the presence of God. He's having such a tremendous experience. It is so real that the creator of heaven and earth is in his presence right there. A voice is speaking out to the light. He was first attracted by the phenomenon of a bush being burned but not consumed. He drew close and that bush began to reveal his history. His life, his ancestors, saying, I'm that God. He's so struck that he knows he's going to face all these people. He wants to go because that voice already commissioned him and said, go and say, I am, hath sent me unto you. And here he is in that presence. But he knows if I go and tell them, you know, right away imaginations and reasonings and all kinds are going to start. All kind of strange questions going to come up, and how am I going to be able to convince them? And God is going to confirm his commission. God is going to give him signs to confirm his commission. And God knew he had to inspire Moses' faith to such a place because he was asking him to do a ridiculous thing. Because when God is preparing deliverance, many times it is in such a ridiculous way. It seems to out of line with a sensible way of thinking. That if you try to think 2 and 2 is 4 like you learn in school, you're going to have the biggest mental block you could have. But you got to get away from that kind of thinking. They're getting God channel, amen. They're getting the channel of inspiration. Always remember, you will not achieve nothing for God in this hour by your natural way of thinking. Anything to achieve for God is going to come by divine revelation of God's word. It's going to be by God divine inspiration. Because not by might or by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. So God looked for the most ridiculous thing, a piece of dry stick. But that was his tool of his work. He was a shepherd. He used to keep the sheep in line. Crack them in the foot with it sometimes. Beat a wolf with it sometimes. Amen. You use it to pull them out of a ditch. Oh, brother, where they get stuck up or something like that. He's to use that rod to deliver the sheep. Amen. From all kinds of situations. That rod and that staff is to bring comfort to the sheep many times. Amen. And God could have chosen many different things, but he wanted to use something connected to his occupation. He wanted to use something that, but every day of his life, it could be right there with him. It would be part of his experience, it would be part of his training. Amen. It would be something that he could relate to. Amen. Something that he feel right at home with. To other people, it might be strange that God will use that. But God was equipping him for the task that God had ordained him to fulfill. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it in the ground. And he cast it in the ground. And it became a serpent. Watch God's power to transform. And Moses fled from before it. Because, brother, that serpent turned right around and charged at him and he took off. The same Moses who had fled from Egypt also. You see, Egypt's symbol was a serpent. And Moses, after killing the Egyptian, he ran for his life when Pharaoh sought him. But now God is going to show him the very thing that you run from. I am sending back the concrete. But I brought him right back. He was right back there again, running with fear again in the presence of God, but charged with fear. It's strange sometimes people can be right here in the presence of omnipotence, the word speaking, showing them what can be done, trying to pull them away from the puny thinking. And yet they sit down right there and they're full of fear. But God never ceases to give his people a challenge. Amen. Hallelujah. And he's running from this very same thing, a symbol of Egypt. That same serpent, a type of the serpent in the Garden of Eden that brought the fall for man and put a fear in man. Amen. That's where it comes from. God could have turned into anything. When they're a frog, he could have turned into a crocodile. He could have turned into a horse. But he turned into a serpent for a particular reason. Because God don't do nothing without purpose. Because God is a book of redemption. And God is revealing redemption. And he's showing them in types of redemption. And he's symbolizing the power he's setting him to deliver his people who is in bondage by that serpent system. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Lord said to him, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it and became a rod in his hand. God changed it, the warning, and changed it back. Let me tell you, God is changing water into blood, God is changing water into wine. But God is changing rod into serpent, God is changing serpent back into rod. Let me tell you, God is transforming power tonight. He can change you from a sinner into a saint here tonight. He can change you from all luster, amen, but into a sanctified saint tonight. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. You just have to recognize in the presence of Almighty God. Amen. He said that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. Amen. The appearing of the chief shepherd, he had appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand to thy bosom. And he put forth his hand into his bosom. God can tell him, do something with his foot. Or his ear. But God wants his hand in the bosom because he was to reveal something. God is being specific again. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass that they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign. That first sign was going to have a voice behind it. That they will believe the voice of the latter sign. That second sign was going to have a voice behind it. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice. It is the same voice both times. Not two different voices. The voice of the first sign and the voice of the second. It's more of the same thing. That's why I say, if they don't believe thy voice. But his voice all the time. That thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Look at that. A rod turned into a snake. A hand turned into leprosy. Water turned into blood. Everything God has shown is transforming power. Let's pray. Almighty God, I pray tonight, Father, the few moments we spend here in thy divine presence, may your Holy Spirit speak so direct through the word. May the word become inspired. May, O God, Lord, the scriptures come alive in the hearts of your children. May it create such living faith. May it bring the mind to such a channel of inspiration that the faith would be so anointed as the divine mysteries of redemption break forth upon the soul. Oh God, let them see in this very hour the same things repeating, even in a greater and a more complete way. That they, your sheep, could be so delivered from every form of bondage in this hour to a full, complete redemption is my prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask this for thy glory. Amen. God bless you. May have your seat. Amen. I want to take for a little title tonight, the prophetic voice of the first sign. And for this subject, the rod in the shepherd's hand. We're going to continue on this little inspiration we've been taking here out of the book of Exodus. And we've been started off
Sunday before, this last Sunday, on God's preparation for deliverance of his sheep in bondage, and begin speaking about the appearing of the chief shepherd and the great gathering of the sheep for the third Exodus. The great gathering time, everything that's happening right now is somewhere in God's word. There's nothing that is happening in this very hour. There's nothing that's happening in the economy of God that God had not foreshown or placed somewhere in his word before. The people in the world, they go to church, they go to crusades, they go all kind of thing, and they try to keep a church tradition. They try to keep a church attendance, and they try to get in the church programs that man designed for them, and say, this week you're going to have that, and next week you're going to do this, and the other week you're going to do that. But it's a program of God's word laid out for this age, what God is going to do in this age for his people. And God, speaking these things as promises, laid it out in the Old Testament, in different places down to the Bible, which was pointing right up to this very last day. Because whether you believe it or understand it or not, this Bible from Genesis was really written for this day. In each day, sure, they had the word for their day. And sure, it was being spoken out of the mouth of God by a prophet. Then it came in a written form. Then they studied the different things. Then churches rose up. All those things down through the ages. But the book was sealed and was to be opened in the last days. And as long as the book was sealed, the full message in the Bible could not be given and could not be completely understood. Amen. But God is going to have a generation, God is going to have a people in the last days that is going to break these seals, and it will be a time when God will fellowship. As the prophet says, he's getting his bride, not these flirters, not all these churches running here after all kind of preachers, bunch of flirters, but his bride, his wife, he's going to bring her close to him and whisper in her ear his secrets that he had in his bosom. And those secrets that was in the back part of God's mind, he's going to put it in the heart of the bride. Amen. I tell you, I cannot think of nothing more exciting. I can't think of nothing more dramatic, nothing more captivating. Amen. Nothing that is a greater blessing. Amen. If God had it, he would give it unto us. But when God will call a people aside, when God will begin to reveal to a people, when God will take them away from the world and all the influences of the world and begin to reveal to them hidden things that no man ever knew, hidden things that was in God's mind, when God will show them these things and not just show it to them and say, see it, but the effect it is having upon them is bringing them into a very faith in the very hour it is being revealed that is actually changing those very people. Because the very righteousness of God is being revealed on faith unto faith. And it's changing them from glory unto glory. It's having such a transforming effect. Being in the presence, being in the power of Almighty God. It's something about being in the presence of God. As I was saying last night, making a little statement at the end of the service. Brother Bram said Moses entered into the pillar of fire. Amen. And he came back out with the glory of God. And he had to veil himself because he was changed when he went into the pillar of fire. Let me say this. Any man goes into the pillar of fire is changed. Any man goes into the world is change. I was speaking to a brother and his wife recently, and I was telling him, I said, look, I said, a lot of people, they love God. They love to come to church. They love God's people. They love to cooperate with the things of God. They love to assist and support the things of God. They don't want to go in the world. They don't live immoral. They're not bad people, but they have not just entered into the world. That's all. So their life is stagnated. They have a church spirit. They come to church as a good person. But they ain't really walking with God every day. They ain't really walking in the rapture in faith. They ain't really maturing and coming to a perfect faith by this revelation. Oh, they learn a lot of things. Ever so often they hear new thoughts and see little new things. Oh, sure, they get blessed with the Holy Spirit. But you can get blessed with the Holy Spirit every day and never enter the world. You say, what are you talking about? The rain fall on the just and the unjust. Everybody in that second court could eat manna and be blessed with the Holy Spirit and be a campground star, but a feast cannot hold out. Until they enter that veil where something is hid, is put behind the veil so it could be a hidden something. Hidden manna. Is that right? People who walk right, dress right, who God is going to anoint right to go in there. Amen. Hallelujah. And brother, the prophet said, when Moses entered into the pillar of fire, It was really the Word he went into. Because in the beginning was the Logos, the pillar of fire, the Word. Is that the Bible? That Word is Logos. That Logos is the pillar of fire. That pillar of fire is Christ. That was the Word himself. Because when Moses came back, he wasn't just jumping around having a nice time. He came back all with a consciousness. He said, no, to approach God, you're going to come this way. He's going to tell them what God likes and what God don't like. He's going to tell them what is being a blessing and what is being a curse. He's going to tell them how to keep God's presence with them. Is that right? Amen. He's going to show them how to approach God, how to get into God's presence, so that God can come and live amongst them and be with them always. So what was in heaven could be manifested on the earth. When Moses went in the pillar of fire, he came back with a revelation. And the people, they was able to come the right way, the revealed way, to approach God, to have God blessing, to have God presence, to have God protection, to have God leadership. Is that right? And you cannot get that unless you get into the Word. You can come to church, you can get your attendance, but you can never know God's leadership in your life. You can never know the hour. You can never really be under inspiration. You can never really have the mind of Christ. You can never really keep the blessing of God with you. You can never really have that personal presence with you all the time if you don't enter into the Word. And that's why there's churches in confusion. That's why there's people in confusion. That's why there's homes in confusion. Don't they go to church? Don't they believe the message? Don't they come out to Egypt? Don't they come out to the world? Is that right? But you have to enter into the pillar of fire. He said, when the fire of God saw it come down and rent that veil in two. He said, that veil was self-will. In the human tabernacle here. But that temple was a type of this temple. Is that correct? Sure it was. Amen. Then that, because in that third court is that seed, that Word. Amen. And then also, in that natural temple, it hit the shewbread, it hit the ark. It hit the golden pot with the manna, it hit the mercy seat. Amen. And then, when that fire comes and ripped that veil, he said, then, now what was hidden was exposed. He said, when them seven seals came in this day, God ripped the veil of man's tradition with the fire of his sword. Amen. He said, when that sword is in a hand where it can rip, let God take a man and anoint that man and put that Word in that man's mouth. Let me tell you, they're going to rip down every human spirit inside of here. They're going to expose every little human idea, every little human reasoning. All the magic, they're going to rip that thing up. That some of you who rely on human strength will find yourself so weak and out of place. You'll find yourself there, buddy, like you ain't start the journey yet. But that's where God wants you. When you're getting there, you're getting where God wants you. Except a corner of wheat fall in the ground and die. Except that self will have veil is torn. It abide alone. Except a man die to his thoughts and his ideas. And rely upon his human strength. He abide alone. Is that correct? Sure. When God had finished Moses, he had a prophet, he had seven weaknesses. He had six and he learned human weakness. Amen. Brother, being in the presence of Almighty God, listen here. Who do you say this is? Page 24. And Moses stood there, that anointed Word of that day. That's why he could put his hand in his bosom. Why? He was standing in the presence of God. Amen. That Shekinah glory all around him. Every move he made represented God. That's where the church ought to be standing now. What does he mean? Go out somewhere in Sarah Repo? And let a light come down along the whole congregation? Is that what God mean? We can't be so carnal. Then you see anybody natural hands into leprosy? Amen. You see any man walking in that rod and turning around and going to turn that stick in front of anybody? That was a symbol of something to come in another Exodus. Amen. That was a symbol not fully revealed. It was speaking about something in a future age. Which you're going to try to show tonight. But I want you to see by the grace of God that when Moses was standing in the presence to know what the presence of God is, first you have to know who God is to begin with. God is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Moses is getting his information from the pillar of fire, his heavenly king. Amen. Balaam was getting his own from Balak. Amen. From a man. Hallelujah. But that Lord was that pillar of fire came down to Moses. And that's what I'm trying to show you. When we come here, some of you at home right here, and you have this word here, and that word begin to open to you. Your flesh is right here, sure. But that soul is going to go through a transformation because God is getting through the gates, amen, of reason and all these things and getting to the realm of faith, bringing your soul into the realm of faith. That brother, the same you who sit down there full of fear and doubt and anything which will turn and confuse in your mind and walking by sight, that word strikes you there and anoint that soul. You don't care who's with you. You don't care how hard it looks. You don't care how dark the skies get, brother. Amen. You know you have the word of Almighty God. You're going to keep walking right through. Amen. That is where I'm talking about. That is the deliverance, because this third Exodus is a spiritual Exodus. Amen. Everything is in a spiritual form, and we got to see it as we go through the experience of it. The reason that once you keep looking at things, service and church, you have the same denominational vision. But the seven seals was opened that we can see this is not just church and group and this and that. This is God's word coming to pass. Amen. But you get under the anointing of the word. You get under the spirit of revelation breaking forth upon your soul. Amen. You get into that realm where the scriptures begin to unfold, where that soul that is ordained to be charged and can only be charged by the revealed word. And that soul begin to be charged. You wash all the sin and all the things fall off of you. Amen. They drop off like old leaves. Amen. Because something pulls that soul into the presence of God. Bring you to a place where there's a reality. Amen. You fall on your face and you repent. Amen. You see your sins and your unworthiness because you come in the presence of Almighty God. You see how simple he was there all the time. And you in a big, heady, high-minded way was missing him all the time. Amen. Yes, sir. And let me tell you, any man, any minister who has entered into the pillar of fire in this third Exodus will come back out changed. Any believer who have entered where that word was hid but is now revealed will come back out changed. There'll be a glory with you. There'll be a power that moves you. Hallelujah! There'll be something that gives you strength in the inner man. There'll be something that moves inside of you. You watch your sick condition and you say, praise God, I'm healed. And the world thinks you're a fanatic. Amen! Hallelujah! Break forth into that place. Let me tell you, these things are realities. That's why you want to find how people have the victory. Amen. Isn't that because they come to church and they're praying? No, no. They have entered into that place where there's all power. Amen. The light no more is cosmic light that go out like this. The light come a place. The night could be as dark as ever. But that light still shines. Amen. The word of God for the hour. Amen. Hallelujah. In conditions of man that curse God and die, they said, don't slay me yet, I'll trust in me. Amen. But I'm willing to take God's revealed way, regardless how much it break you up. Amen. Glory. Something inside of you, what is it? Somebody have entered into the presence of Almighty God. Don't just come in the church building, come further than that tonight. Don't just change a few more rows and come up closer to the front, come further than that tonight. Amen. I challenge you tonight. Amen. You enter in here, brother, things will be different. You may have little things on the table, but you'll be happy in the grumbling. Hallelujah. You may have the same old pair of shoes, and you wouldn't be ashamed and have no complex. Hallelujah. You'll be about your father's business. Amen. Something was moving in my heart this evening. I was praying. And the Holy Spirit seemed to, since the Honduras was speaking about a Christ-centered life. The thought just came out telling me a Christ-centered life. I mean, but my absolute. This, let the storms blow. Let it get dark. Let conditions come. Come with me! Let me know I'm tied to something real. God tie my soul by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and no man could untie that. Oh! free. I'm tied. Cannot be untied. I may not see a thing, but I can feel it talking the line. His words shall never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Oh, I get a prayer in my, I've been to get fervent in my prayer. I've been to get earnest in my prayer before God. Amen. I say, yes, Lord, that's what I need in this hour. There's so much faithless people all around. So that people with no vision on all kind of indecisiveness. Oh, I'm fed up among a bunch of chickens. I wonder sometimes what kind of people am I around sometimes. We want to fly up in the mountain, amen. We want to look out here and see the power of God moving. We want to see people can take God at his word. Amen. Glory. But right before our eyes here many times. Amen. And I went back there and I've been looking at some old notes and these things. And I said, why go all day if I'm going to preach different things? But it seemed like God is just doing that for me so I can stand and preach what I have to preach. Amen. After he has done that for me. Amen. Now let me know regardless, live or die, sink or swim, friend or no friend. Amen. God's word is true regardless. Amen. That's why I always put this church in the word. Amen. I preach you the Bible. Amen. I preach you the message. Not my interpretation. It came from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. But somebody wonder how many people gets it, how many people sees it, how many people recognizes God, how many people are willing to die out and give themselves over to the word. Let that word possess them and take them over and control them. You ain't gonna worship me, you'll stay with the word. Amen. Many people are afraid to open up to the word. And they still live in their own idea. Sit on inside there and rejoice about the word, you know. Talk about it. But, I believe that. But when they step out, they can't step out. Faithless. Amen. Oh, my. You look at Moses right there. He had entered into the word. Oh, things happening in the presence of God. Here's a mortal man, a shepherd, 40 years. As I showed last week, he acquired that nature of a tender, meek, humble nature of a shepherd. Yet God is going to use that man to be an instrument of terrible wrath and judgment like the world had never known to bring upon that rejected nation. This bride will linger a while and preach to the lost. Let me tell you that. This bride will stand and look at church members in the hour of Annas and Sapphira again. Same eyes that weep for them and cry for them. Amen. Same knees that get bagged in long hours in the night praying for them to accept the word. Amen. Say, brother, same feet that come hastening to the house of God. Every service is to point out to them. We'll turn right back around and them eyes will be like a flame of fire. Them feet will be like brass. Amen. Yes, sir. You say what? The voice of many waters is the voice of them ministers foaming out in judgment. Is that right? Look, that very head is there. Shine we not time. Oh, people got to get away from the inspiration of the word. They get human. They get their own human spirit to go to church. Yeah, it's a nice message. And they kind of break up the message in pieces. And they break it down, and they break it down, and they turn it over, and different things. And all the theologians just take it now for the discussion square. And so I discuss it, yeah, you know. And I find that kind of type, so yeah, and you know, I see that all for that. And see, and nobody rises up to take the line. To see deliverance come to themselves. To move with the word. To prove this word is the truth, amen. Take it and make it work. Amen, yes, sir. Then you have the next group, yeah, glorifying the church. Oh, we here in Dark Tarry, oh, we have the church, and we did the other. Get drunk right there. Amen. But in that's your self-glorification. But you get into the world, and your thinking gets filtered. Your taste gets holy. Get a holy man taste. Come to a thinking man filter, amen. Come to the waters of separation, separating you from all unbelief. You have conviction. You want to please man and be the servant of Christ? You can be the servant of Christ and please man? You say, brother, that is idle talking. That is not good. That is pleasing inside of God, brother. Stop that vain thing. No, they don't want to offend. They don't want to be popular. They want their friendship. They're alone from this one, so they can't tell them nothing. Brother! Amen! Let me tell you, you're talking about a ministry of the third pull of people getting ready? Amen. The word is coming forth this hour, showing us, but a deliverance is here. You have no exodus without deliverance. You show me one. Exodus is deliverance itself. Taking his people out with a mighty hand. Amen. But before he does it, he takes man into the world. How could God start from Exodus? How could some man deliver somebody with the word of God if that man don't get into the word himself, if he don't meet the deliverer himself? Moses tried to deliver them with just knowledge and never met the deliverer. But when he met the deliverer, then he knew how deliverance has come. Because he had a first taste of it in his own life. Amen. You know nothing you learn from a book and study, brother? The grace of Almighty God has taken you into the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Change you. Bring you back out change. So you can't express your own thoughts. Not 2 and 3, 4. God said so. Amen. You come back out saying, God said so. Not the way I think, brother. Sister, way I think. You know, brother, sister, I get confused. I don't know. Shut your mouth. God said so. Because it show what you're tied to. It show you're tied to the word. Amen. Somebody have a bunch of chipmunks on each other, all kind of negative things. You look for a man who's tied to the word. You look for a man who the word is the headship. Man who's filled with thinking and can only speak what the word says. Man who have courage. Look at fearless, wishy-washy people want to stand at the forefront. Then they get back and take a back seat somewhere. Amen. Man the forefront must have faith. Man the forefront must meet God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Man the forefront had to be examples. Reckon epistles, read of all men. Not get popular in the church. Let your life be the life of Christ, attracting the real believer. Amen. Leaving an example there for people to follow. Glory be to God. Amen. I'm talking about deliverance. Amen. I'm talking about a rod in the shepherd's hand. I'm talking about the prophetic voice of the sign speaking. And God said that if they reject that voice of that first and that second sign, then there's no more mercy. Amen. My, let's plow into these things and see what these things are. What is it saying? What does these things mean? Just trying to speak and lay a little foundation here of the hour. Bring it to you. You're not just coming to church to hear a message. You're not just coming to church because you're having a battle with your conscience. And your conscience telling you you're backslidden. Conscience telling you you're going to be lost. The Lord coming soon. So you kind of ease and say, well, let me try to go to church a little bit. Just try to go to church more regular. So, you know, Let me kind of do something. No. God wants your blanket and the pony. The hour for blanket and ponies pass. God wants you. Offer yourself a living sacrifice. God don't want your thinking either. God wants a head on the altar. Amen. That has to be reduced to ashes. All your good fancy thoughts must be reduced to ashes. Yes, sir. Let me tell you. It comes to the place where Simon Peter was a fisherman, but he fished all night. I preached a message right here last year. When I preached on Dove Leading Eagle, forsaking all and following him. Stood right at the end. You know, he fished all night in the same water. And the Lord said, turn it on the right side. He never see a carpenter telling a fisherman about fishing. Amen. He recognized divine authority. Amen. Let me tell you. God provided a way for deliverance. Know it? We talk about the pillar of fire in Exodus. Once we come in God economy, God have an order. Once we in the world program, the world have the program. But once we come in God channel, it's the Bible. Yes, sir. How many know that's the truth? Amen. Glory. Praise his wonderful name. Moses went into the word. He entered into the pillar of fire. And the man came back out changed. There's a glory upon him. While the word was in him to be given out, there was things God wanted to give out. And they put it in Moses to give it out. Amen! Think in this Bible, this message locked up that had to be given out. And God had to bring man in the word so it could be given out. And it's not man thinking being given out. It's God's revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen! That the spirit of the living God could come and live inside of his sons and daughters in this hour. They could get a total deliverance. Amen. Moses stood in that anointed word. Who do you say? This is page 24 of that day. That's why he could put his hand in his bosom. Why? He was standing in the presence of God. Amen. The great Shekinah glory all around him. Every move he made represented God. That's where the church ought to be standing now. That's where God wants his church to be standing. Christ walking in the feet, speaking through the lips, thinking with the mind, working with the hands. The word that transformed itself over the years. The same God who knows that star exploded 170,000 light years ago and is traveling at 186,000 miles per second. Heaven to earth! And you know the very day going to strike, and before it strikes, you pick up an idiot and say supernova. That's what I'm talking about! When Martin Luther took the book of Esther and threw it in the Elbe River, and they should not even be in the canon of scripture, a messenger who was in the presence of God. God! Come down such muck of the earth, a worm! And God could say, look at Esther, put between Nehemiah and Job for a purpose. It's like a sphinx, it's a riddle. Look, the king and the queen, the virgin. Look, Leo and Virgo unite right there. What kind of thinking is that? Where them thoughts come from? It comes from the same place that Moses went up there and got them things from. He said, what are you saying? No, I'm not that. I'm saying that the veil is open and man can go into the world too. Amen. Hallelujah! Man could go into the pillar of fire too. Man don't need man to represent them no more. Man could go in there who have faith to go in there. Come back out to the blessings of Almighty God. Amen. My. Moses had been attracted and come aside. And there was a pillar of fire hanging there in a bush. And here stood Moses anointed. God was anointing him. Because deliverance was coming. Deliverance, look, I know halfway anointed man. You know, we talk about confused today. I had the word tomorrow, you're confused tomorrow. Next day, back up on what you said the day before. That can't bring deliverance. God knew how to prepare the deliverance. That when God says, see, I am hath sent me unto you. I never even got to my introduction Sunday morning. The place was so hot, but hard to preach. We want to show that in every age that pillar of that angel come and directs man in service and the word come through the body. That pillar of fire come to Paul. Reveal that mystery, that same one who has veiled in human flesh and live out the mystery of the Old Testament from Bethlehem to Calvary for 33 years in a flesh body like he come in this day in Malachi 4 and reveal the Son of Man, the pillar of fire himself in all three poles. And it's staying the message all locked up there in books and tapes to put together to reveal God one goal and one purpose to show what is happening from 1966 to 1989. Amen. To see if we line up with the word and we're walking straight in the bloody footprints. Amen. Brother, that same pillar of fire come back and begin to reveal what is lived out in Jesus. And say, don't say you eat with him. Don't say you fish with him in the woods. Don't try to tell all them stories. Amen. No. He said, know him after the flesh no more. That was an hour come. That season was finished. No matter the flesh, no more. There was a mystery that was lived out in his life. Amen. And brother, it was a strange gospel. It shook up many people. It got people, made them wonder, where is this man getting them things from? What authority is this man saying things with? But they sit there under the word, and they know it takes a word to speak like that. Faith that catches the vision, it comes by grace By grace are you saved through faith. If you say you're saved, that means you say you're not lost no more. Then it comes by revelation. Because you ain't seen your natural name in that book. Amen. Then any other thing comes by the same revelation and by the same word. So then why are you so sure that you're saved and you don't want to say you're not lost or you're not saved? And then when the word's supposed to come in the form of a revelation, it comes there and you see it and the word is speaking to you, do this, do that, do this. And your thoughts be like a mountain. And you have mountains you can't turn the truth. And your thoughts come like a big river. And you have a river you can't cross. And you stand there backed up. And you ain't see nobody. But all you're inside your mind because it's strongholds. The enemy and the battleground winning the battle. Because you can't cast him out your mind. You can't pull down them strongholds. They're not outside battle. Everything is inside. Satan approaches from the inside. You don't put blame on people for nothing. No. You sit right here. It's on the inside, brother.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. Because, see, you have to apply the word for yourself. When the thought comes in, it seems so nice and it's like nobody called it the devil yet. And you say, oh, God, talk to me. And then somebody comes with something so strong, exactly opposite to that. And you're afraid to call, what talk to your God now? You say, well, this thought came to me. But before you tell people, God spoke to me, God. And then you say, I get a thought. Fear done step in already. Uncertainty done sort of put you in chains. Your mind start to get all confused. Your eyes start to get dark. You ain't going one step. A mental block. You stop right there. Satan approaches from the inside. Your revelation will be tested. You have to possess the gates of the enemy. Amen. You have to control the gates to do anything for God. The guy Moses had a long journey from that wilderness of Sinai back to Egypt. I know mind battles come. I sure maybe after when we can't pull out one, you go and see the back a sneak again. To keep another faith. You think it's like that?
No, sir.
But God burned that experience so deep down with your word. When that voice spoke, it was a scriptural voice. He didn't go so much on the fire, you know. On the voice. God gave sign to me. He said, not to reject sign, reject the voice of the sign. God, sign without a voice is nothing. If there were old Egyptian voice behind the sign, it's nothing.
Impersonators.
Amen. What kind of voice did it have behind that sign? See, who is speaking? Because when he speaks, heaven will pass away, but his word will never, 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 never fail. Oh, I trust to get carried. Don't get scared. The word don't scare you. The word is pull you out your fears.
Amen.
The word is lift you up out your depression. Scatter your doubts away. And say, you can do all things to Christ who strengthened you. The word has exposed the works of the devil. So you can cast him out your mind. Says, yes, it's you, Satan, bring that negative thing upon me. I rebuke that. Amen.
Yes, sir.
God was preparing him for deliverance. And then that same light that spoke to Moses was speaking the word now, identifying his presence, showing his signs. When the people stood there before the thoughts of God being revealed, they were back in the presence of the same God like Moses was back in the presence of the pillar of fire. You understand that? That is why he preached the mighty God unveiled before us. He said, yeah, I meet him on the mountain. He said, he's in the presence of Jesus Christ right here. Well, that very God was veiled. Let me make it easy for some of you. The word was veiled. Some of you, you know, when you say God, it kind of scare you. You say the word, you kind of feel a little better. Yeah. No, it's not God again, it's a word. Trinitarians, you see. Coming in a mess, but still Trinitarians. So the Holy Ghost in me, yeah, it's all right. We all have the Holy Ghost here. Jehovah God, the pillar of fire is in me. Oh, that is too strong. Say Jesus in us. Say the pillar of fire. Say the Holy Ghost is in us. Trinitarians. Let me tell you. But when he brings us more and more into his word, all them flues will be pushed out. And then you see in reality that the grace that God can come and pick up an old stinking bottle, beer bottle, out of the canal and wash it out. Just because of sanctification, and then you put it in service. Amen. Then you see the grace of God. Pick you up out of the world. Pick you up out of this stinking denomination. Stinker than the world was. Some of you come in the mission and feel you're a little cleaner and better than some of the people in the world. No, sir. You're worse. Because you're committing spiritual adultery, all kind of man creeds and dogmas, thinking you're serving God. You're in a bed of adultery, spiritual adultery, and God can stone you with hailstones. Exactly right. You had to come out of that, to come to the word, to be washed, to be a virgin for God. Amen. Hallelujah. Get all the man seed out here. Methodist, Pentecostal, Baptist, Seventh-day Pilgrim, Holiness, Nazarene, all their man seed. They're like, get it out to you. Come to God pregnant with all kind of seed. Amen. Sure. Love is a religious pleasure. Praying hard for something out of the will of God. There's a man leading them to some man-made program, rejecting the message of the hour. Sure, we don't do that for God. You ignorantly worship a devil and didn't even know it. Amen. That's why some people can't really repent, because they don't know what to repent for. They never even recognize the condition. Amen. But when people see the condition that there was in the sight of God, then they realize what it was. Because while they were doing all the denomination, the seven seals were done open already. And God had done identify the real word and say every man-made organization came to naught, and they were still wobbling around inside of there. Having adultery some denomination when God cursed the thing when the seven seals open. Never rise no more. He said, thus said the Lord. Habitation of devils. Come out of Babylon. Amen. And that's why when the grace of God struck you and you see the system you was in, God, let me tell you, the same system you was in, it still ain't repent yet. What every one of us come out of is still there. Every denomination, all 900 something, is still there and not want to repent all these years. And the same one's going to take the mark of the beast, and the same one God going to stone. And I guarantee you, they didn't change the doctrine since you was in it neither. So now what kind of spirit people were playing around with outside here? But God went to bring us into the word. He went to break them bands of bondage. Amen. He went to bring that deliverance, brother. When they come up to the word, they know to dress. You get in this word? And the Spirit of God take you into the world. Let me tell you. You see how to dress. You gotta take them filthy magazines out your house. You gotta burn up all them shorts. All them lipstick and throw that out in the dustbin. Sure. Why? Because you're being changed. You got into the word. All them little social drink you used to take. See? All brother, when you get, and the deeper you get into the word, you're careful what you're saying afterwards. Because you know them lips is to praise God alone. Is that be purged by fire? Sure. Then you're careful how you have your house too. You may think you're becoming a fanatic, but what's happening? When Moses went to the word, didn't he tell Israel? He said, no, you can't be like the rest of the nations no more. He said, I see something up in that heavenly vision, that mountain, while I was in that pillar of fire, the only thing I see. He came back out and talked about almost 30 chapters. Yeah, all what he saw. He saw the inheritance. He saw the birth. He saw where they ought to be positioned. Is that right? He said, Judah, you're not going to camp here now. Daniel, you're going to do this now. He was seeing all that about them there. Setting them in their place in life. In their path of life. Because he went into the word. He wasn't making demands on them and trying to change their life and Christianize them. He was setting them, but according to the destiny, it had been revealed to him out of the Bible that there was a peculiar, to be a peculiar people, a holy nation. They wouldn't take no pattern from the other nations. Yet they were going to lost. We want a king. We want to do it. We want to be like that one. We want to be like the other one. Is that right? Sometimes the word of God speak right here. And they can't obey the henchmen. They can't obey some man outside in the world with full of Egyptian thoughts. Let me tell you. Brother, when the seven seals open, man wisdom was revealed as foolishness. Because all going to become atomic fodder. A rock was thrown up and God said, I'll wipe the whole thing off the earth. It's of the devil. And he revealed them seven trumpets and he said, look where it starts. Civilization came. It's of the devil. Man of wisdom. Foolishness. The seventh seal opened and then God said, here's my thinking. It may look like foolishness to the world, but it's greater than the wisdom of man. My foolishness is greater than the wisdom of man. Here it is. It's life to you if you receive it. I know it come across a little rough sometimes. It hurts. But some of us are so rooted so deep in this idolatry and all this kind of different thing. It takes me like to shake us out of that nonsense. We glorify half the time, and it's the devil, and we can't even see it. And we just come to church for a little religion. Let me tell you, this is the judgment seat of God. The pillar and ground of truth, Paul says. You want to know what God is and what God Bible says, and where it's going to bring life, and where it's going to bring death, you walk right in the right place. Amen!
Yes, sir!
Glory be to God. Amen. Moses was in the presence of Almighty God. I can't move from there. Something in the presence of God. Something in that anointing. He was entering into the world. But God make him a shepherd because he could get in the presence of the great shepherd. And you know what he found? A heart full of love. He come down to deliver his sheep. He was touched with the cries, the affliction. His poor little helpless sheep who can't be led without him. And he had to get all that Egyptian nonsense that made Moses the greatest man in the so-called world. He had to beat all that out of him and make him forget all that. And when he got rid of all that, take God 40 years. Prophet said, what's the life of Moses in 340s? See, when it's 40 years, run off in the wilderness. You find Acts 7. And then, he stayed there for 40 years. After 40 years of being educated and trained and knowing the word and knowing the age and knowing the hour and knowing the promise and knowing he's born a proper child and knowing he come from the lineage of Levi and knowing his genealogy and know Abraham was and packed with all the knowledge. All the success he had was one dead, rotten, stinking Egyptian after 40 years. Kill one Egyptian and run for his life. Next thing, he drunk the whole army and was in the will of God. Exactly right. After 40 years. Went with a sword, next thing, he came out with a rod. What does it tell us in stories? It reveals God. The God we want to please tonight. The God who's leading us. It reveals him. Now we can come into a true relationship and understanding of his ways. That's why we're in this. How God cleanses man from his own thinking. How God brings man to a place of weakness and then perfects his strength inside that weakness. Brings him to a place he's totally dependent upon God. He can do nothing for himself. When the prophet ended up there in that day, he said, Lord, I can't even drive my car without you. He said, I can't even shoot without you. I can't even fish without you, Lord. It looked naive for a prophet to talk them kind of things. It looked like he should have more pride in that to show like he's so unable to do anything. He wasn't trying to get sympathy from people. He was trying to show how man is molded into saints. how God beats the iron pyrite of education and civilization out of man and human reasoning. Beats that iron pyrite out and perfect his strength. Put his character inside of him. Amen. Come like old man Moe. God said, go through that wall. Did God say, go through the wall I go in? When I get there, it's always have a hole to go through. Amen. Where man have no thinking of his own to rebel and battle against God. I know you're trying to defy God in the sky. You know? The word of God speaking in your heart is God. And you, your reasoning, trying to stifle that thought of the word. That's how you're battling against God. Sure. The word has come up the air to tell you, you can do it. God says, what are you afraid of? God will take care of it. Step out there, do what's right. Believe. In the Lord your God, you shall prosper. Even in his prophet, you shall be established. Amen. But yet they say, no, but so-and-so, and in case so-and-so happen, and what about so-and-so, and maybe this may take place. And what are you doing? You're battling against God. But the devil making you do it so subtly. You come out of a guilty conscience and you see you're doing no wrong. You see you're being smart and you're being patient. This is being stubborn and full of idolatry. Like witchcraft. You're being disobedient and rebellious. But you think you're being wise. And keep your doubt. And you wouldn't be even honest to say, yeah, it's doubt and fear. Lord, help me, deliver me from this condition. Let me tell you, even while in that presence, all the great things was happening to Moses, the Bible said the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. It is through Moses' own weakness, God said, take Aaron. God gets so vexed with him. See? Because he's been a complainer. Listen. No doubt that the man didn't even know what he was doing, the prophet says. The symbols he was given when he stood there with that shepherd's staff, I know that that would be a rod in the wilderness. It turned into a serpent, then it became an atonement. That serpent did in the wilderness all the things that he done. There were signs and voices speaking to the people. See, there was something was connected with him. God is preparing deliverance. But when the man goes to express and reveal God to the people, it will come to the man's occupation and person that they will keep seeing the man. If they didn't know God's word and God's will and how God promised to reveal himself in that hour, they were going to stumble. It's strange, the prophet tells the story, say, the little boy, you know, when the lightning started to thunder and roll and he gets so scared and the mama took him upstairs and put him in bed and say, honey, you know, by the grace of God, you know, we are Christians, you shouldn't be scared, you know, we believe in the Lord and the Lord will keep us in time of storm. God is a present help in time of trouble. He's our refuge and our strength, son, and quote the scriptures and everything. And she just relax, everything will be all right. He said, mama, when that lightning's on a flash, that turns on a roll. And danger is so close. He said, I want a God with skin on it. But it seems like today, we're afraid of a God with skin on it. We want a God back in the sky without skin. We don't want God with skin at all. Because we ain't too sure it could be God. And the devil so pervert your thinking, you want something different than what the Bible promised. You want to go back in the age of God above us? You want to go back in the Old Testament? Let me tell you, the historical spirit upon many of you. You want to serve a historical God? In the first Exodus is God above us. In the second Exodus is God with us. And the third Exodus is God in us. God always had skin upon him down to the Bible. And if man could have such faith that Jehovah would be behind badger skin, how much easier it is to believe God behind human skin than badger skin? Check it out your own self and realize the devil playing tricks on many of your minds. Because you still don't know God is the word. The devil cannot bring that word, word by word. Was something connected with him, speaking to the people, signs, voices, and Moses might not have even known it himself, but he was the anointed word of that day. He was the anointed messenger. So if he was the messenger of that hour, he was the Messiah of the hour. He was the anointed one. Amen. The word anointed in you for the hour makes you Messiah. Thus said the prophet. Page 25. Give me a church that's so completely anointed with God. Not a church just getting up anointed to shout and say we had a good service. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 25, come and let me go home and say, who did a nice service tonight? Eh? Enough to burn all them reason imagination to you. Not God yesterday and not God till yesterday and not God today. A lot of people is God until they disagree with thinking. Show how weak a believer they was all the time. Just waiting for the right condition to show up their weakness. And show up that they never really believed. They're just hanging around. Give me a church that's so completely anointed with God. Till their every action and every move is thus said the Lord. Walk in that kind of glory. I'll show you a Messiah, anointed one of God, standing upon the earth. There stood Moses by that burning bush, and the Shekinah glory standing there anointed. He didn't even know what he was doing hardly. He was just obeying what the voice said. Do stick your hand in the bosom, pull it out, take up that rod, turn to the serpent, throw it back down. No matter what anybody else said, he was doing it. Said, Lord, show me your glory. I'm ready to go to Egypt. I'm not an eloquent man. I can't speak well, but you just let me see your glory. And he showed it to him. And he went down and took those same things and showed that he was the anointed Messiah. That man picked up dust off the earth, threw it in the air. Flies, fleas, float, and that dust covered the earth. What could create but God? Took water to the river, poured upon the bank. Every drop of that water throughout Egypt turned to blood. What could do that but God? What was it? He was so completely surrendered to God's anointed word till he was Messiah. It don't have no true like in this age that God has not been beaten and beaten and beaten these past years to get them weak. If it have any true elect in this age predestined to go into the resurrection, let me tell you, they're very, very weak tonight. Because God knew when he took them out of the world, he had to beat them into shape. They might have bawl and squeal and run and try to back up and try to do all kinds of different things to get out under the pressure that God's word is bringing them, breaking them to pieces to remold them over. They might just feel like the devil was against them and everything was going wrong in their life. Amen. But it was God bringing them to a place of weakness. Because unto that end they was born, for that cause they came into the world. Nothing never went wrong in the life of no elected seed. Glory be to God. Things could be hard even tonight. They could be in all kinds of troubles. They don't know what to do. They're here to the grave, falling on their head. They don't know what to do about it. But God knows when to move it. Amen. Hallelujah. God knows how to bring it to a place of being fully surrendered to his divine will. Because God wants prisoners in chains to dust, said the Lord. God is going to have adopted sons and daughters in this hour. God is going to have a super church. And that is not going to come by man ability. That is not a certain amount of years going to take to bring that. It's going to take the right kind of experiences ordained by God. And God himself working in their lives through those experiences to bring them in that condition. You believe that? Amen. That's why the Holy Spirit comes and gives you wisdom of the word. So you're going to struggle and struggle with the log. You get on the ride on it. Amen. Hallelujah. You ride on it. Say, deliver me of myself, oh God. Amen. Let Christ be the center of my life. Let him be the center of my home. Amen. Let him be the center of the revelation that influences me. Amen. Let it be Christ all the way. Time is so tied to my absolute that I can't do nothing like Moses. Say, Lord, I won't go up except you go with me. He knew what he tried to do through his own ability. And he knew when God get him in his hand, what God could do with him. And he didn't want to do nothing without God from then on. Because he's afraid to get himself into the way and he's afraid to fail. Like he said, Paul said, come in fear and trembling. That's what brought the power. He didn't come and try to be powerful. He came in fear and trembling. Because he was chained. His life was a hard one. The demand God made upon his life, the place God held him to bring that word that way. Change God, don't tighten them upon him. And God make one man die to himself and time so tight because God loves his people. He said, death to us, but life to you. He said, death to us, but life to you. So he could bring life to our people, quicken them and raise them up. God kill men to send them with the word, that the word could deliver the others. It has always been God's way in the Bible. My, you were so completely surrendered to God until he became the anointed word for that hour. The things that God wanted to do in that age, those revelations, it was so real. It was so inspired to Moses. When God break that revelation to you, isn't that some nice little types, you know? It's the mind of the Spirit. His life issuing forth, flooding your soul, possessing you, taking you over, and bringing you under its control. And when you speak as the oracle of God. When you speak, man know. God already said that in the Bible. When you speak, the scriptures that lay in the Bible comes alive. So man know what anointed only taking you back to the word and coming out of the word and becoming alive. And some people wonder if it's God. Let me tell you, I want to know, where's the revelation to begin with? It's not a Pentecostal idea of God somewhere. God leave me to go and in the shop the other day, meet a brother and talk to him. Sure, I'm going to do that. But let me send the word a little bit too. Let me not just follow all these kind of things that can't go back to the word. Let's bring it back to the plan for the age. And see then, God now. Bringing the word allotted for this hour. He said there's some anointing that's come down in every age to project out the word that is allotted for that hour. And then you see the word predestinated, the word written for the hour. That predestined word in the hearts of those people catches that word out of the Bible like that and speaks it out. Quick and sharp and powerful. It cuts unbelief asunder from every son and daughter of God. Because you know, it is the intelligence of Almighty God. And when that word comes forth, watch your home start to take a different shape. Watch your life. Watch you deal with your wife, your children. Everything's going to go different. You know why? Somebody went into the pillar of fire and set you in order to approach God, that God can come in your life. The blessings is coming out to you. Oh, it's so tremendous. God is all over this place tonight. This place is anointed, is charged with the word of the living God tonight. I'm going to stop right here. You can pick up Sunday morning. But before we close it out, don't let be a nice little message and go home now. If we're conscious of that Holy Spirit, if we have any spiritual discernment, if we are sensitive as believers, if we have any insight, if we can recognize the presence of Almighty God, if we know the voice of the Holy Spirit, when it speaks down through that word, if that word, when it comes forth, finds them weak place in our life, we're going to strengthen it. And in strengthening it, it gives a repellent to push the devil off. Give you more operating space. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Give you courage. Amen. The things that are backing up against a warning. You say, God said, so I'm going forward with the word. Amen. Hallelujah. You ready to give a testimony? Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Let me tell you. The hour is here for deliverance. On Wednesdays, as I said last night, Thursdays, Sundays, the whole inspiration here now is deliverance. It's here, it's available, it's moving, the word is here. The word is becoming flesh, and the flesh is becoming word. Amen. There's people here who God have loosed from the grip of Satan. Amen. There's people here who have come into the word, and the word have changed them. Amen. And where life connects with life, it creates a barrier, sin barrier. Amen! It creates a sin barrier! No matter how the devil come in this church and try to undermine, but where faith connects with faith, amen, it raises a standard against that. Hallelujah! Glory! But it guards the word. Keeps the revival alive in the heart. Keep the pillar of fire moving in the home, amen. Oh my, the same God tonight I'm saying, we're here in his presence. As we come into the word, more Moses came into the word, the more you were so far away from Egypt then. Not just in miles now. Brother, he was in the eternity, right there in the mountain. He was in the presence of the eternal king, the great deliverer himself, the great shepherd himself. He knew what deliverance was. He felt so delivered at 80 years old. Brother, you were like a young man in full strength. He was ready to go. Amen. I know right away after there, he got up, picked up his wife and his children, and heading down to Egypt. Oh, great experience of God. And the Bible said the anger of the Lord was kindled, and God was getting ready to kill him because he leave his boy uncircumcised. Many times people want to run forth and do this for God and do that for God and deliver this one and get some great experience. Set your house in order first. Don't try to set this one, set that one. Set your house in order first. The Bible said God was going to kill him because God had met Abraham back there and tell Abraham, he and uncircumcised will be cut off. That was God's sign. But he was leaving the world and done going to deliver people, and yet he didn't carry out the word of God in his own home yet. His wife can't say, "What a bloody husband you are. Throw the foreskin of the child there before him." But I'm saying, "If I tell you, God knows what kind of wife to give him in the backside, he does it." Two of them out of temper. He said to them, "You had some rare clashes in the back there." Amen. But brother, let me tell you, meet the deliverer tonight. He's right here in the service, moving among you. And if you want to really be so completely severed from your own fears and your own doubts, all kind of little Egyptian spirits maybe want to get a hold of you, and God want to free from every form of bondage of Egypt around your life. Amen. But here tonight, while we see God preparing that deliverance, amen, no wonder when Moses went down there, Moses became God. In Exodus 7, God said, "Moses, I am going to make you God to Egypt." That's what Jesus quoted when Jesus came. He said, "Didn't they call the prophets God who the word came to?" Amen? Yes, sir. No wonder when that Brother Bram said, "Brother Bram, the people saying you is God." He said, "Well, that ain't too far from the scriptures." 3 years before he blasts that spirit there, trying to worship him as the God of heaven and earth. He said, "No, but the word anointed me make me Messiah." Amen. Glory! Amen. Brother, do you know the word? Do you know the word anointed? Could you recognize the inspired word? Our sister had a little experience for quite some years now. She's been going through many, many hard times, and she's going to tell it when she comes. And just obedience to God, walking, serving God, being faithful. I know she's going to say this part, so I'm going to say this part. It's just going to leave her, and she's going to notice it leaving her in her own life. And the other night, you know, I called her to sing, and because I know that the little singing gift laying there, and I called her to sing, and it got a little mix up here because Brother Bishop didn't understand what was happening, and Brother Brian himself didn't understand what was going on at the time. And Sister Suzanne Ross, I'm speaking of, and then she was telling me, she said, "No, I didn't mind singing, but I wanted to really testify, give a kind of progress report because of how God had been helping her with the sickness and delivering her completely from it." So I told her, says, "Well, you know, I think it'd be very good and appropriate. And any of you who have a testimony that God is doing something for you, in this hour of deliverance, when he has come down, he's heard the cries of his people, he has seen their affliction, and he has come to deliver them, and he is delivering them. then by the grace of God, you know, you give testimony, because others right here, sitting here, could catch that faith. But what I'm saying, that congregation, when that woman saw that blind man come up and was healed, she come with a dead baby tonight. Doctor pronounced it dead 11 o'clock in the morning. Or 9 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock the night, she said, I saw God heal that blind man last night. I know the man. And I am not going to bury this baby. Because God healed that blind man, God could raise this baby. He said the blanket was soaking wet since 9 o'clock. The baby had died. 11 o'clock in the night, she was still holding it there. And he says, all the ushers had a big meeting with 200 or 1,000 people. Couldn't keep that one little one back. He said she was dunked through the legs, over the shoulder, running along here, running along here. She was determined to get there. I want to preach perseverance. After he preached all the women in the Bible, he picked up that little Mexican woman. He said she too was persistent to get in the presence of Almighty God. And that's how faith moves many times. It's happening for someone. Sometimes the prophet say, this one have arthritis. How many here have arthritis? See a whole batch of them, they say, well, you all could be healed right now of arthritis. I'm trusting that God in His grace, His Holy Spirit, not we can't work ourselves into it, but the word could create the atmosphere and set your spirit in a channel for it. But that's what the word is supposed to do. You say, once people heal, preach healing, create the anointing for healing. You know, preach see salvation, preach salvation. You know, get the Holy Ghost, preach the Holy Ghost. Create the atmosphere for it, then they get in the spirit of it, and it begins to take place normal amongst them. And all this deliverance we're talking about here, which is covering, healing, salvation, the Holy Ghost, everything. In any form, whatever area you have that you need deliverance tonight. I trust that it just will sweep through this place. Amen. Just come and help with the mic here. Come, sister. Get the musicians ready. She's going to sing for us also.
This song.
Amen. One of the true believers in this assembly here. Remember the day she walked in here in the back? Brother who introduced, at least witnesses that come here, is not even serving God today, but when she came in, she looked at me and she said, she's been in the message years before that. And she said, you sincere? Because they're known, some different ministers live, you know. And she said, you sincere? Well, I had to check myself before I answered. I just didn't jump and say yes. I look at myself and I say yes. I say, well, what do you think? You think I'm sincere? Well, she could answer the time, but you know, the other day she said something very complimentary. She says, you know, I believe it's one person sincere. I know you are sincere. So I thank God somebody knows I'm sincere. And I'm trying to be more sincere, and may God help us all to be sincere. Because it takes a real sincere heart in this hour with the truth. So she's going to testify and give us a report.
Good night, everyone. God bless you. I'd wanted to talk to Brother Vin some time now about testifying, and I only did it on Monday, so he said that I should do it on Tuesday. So, I know that you all know that last year on July 24th, I'd asked Brother Vin to pray for me, and well, since then, there's a great relief, and I just want to explain everything that kind of worked up into that. Well, I'd been to several doctors. I'd asked them to pray about two things, really. One was like the spinal disorder that I had. There was two things wrong. I had a spinal curvature, and then I also had a pinched nerve. I just assumed that I got it from probably overworking at home, and I think I lifted up something that was a little too heavy, and I suppose that's how I got it. I'm not sure. I'd been to just one doctor concerning that, and the other thing was my breathing problem that I had, which kind of got like from since 1985. And I'd been to several doctors about that, because that one really terrified me. Because I used to feel like if at any when it happened, I would just like probably die right away or something. And well, concerning the pain like from my back, it originated there, but straight down through my left leg, the entire back straight down. It used to get like extremely numb, and it was difficult to even stand for the space of 2 minutes or walk anywhere or drive or anything like that. And it used to be like pins and needles. Sometimes I used to feel like if it wasn't even there, it used to be so dead. So I'd asked them to pray about my breathing problem, and that I'd been to several doctors with the breathing problem, and they couldn't find out exactly what was wrong with me. And they gave me a whole lot of different diagnoses. Each one differed from the other. And I believe that was for a purpose, because like maybe I was putting too much confidence in them. And I believe the diagnosis became so ridiculous at one point that I really had to give them up. And probably later on, I'll probably tell you so many things that they told me. It might sound jokey, but it's what they told me anyhow. So, like, I suppose maybe my attitude towards, you know, being asked to be prayed for was wrong. And Judy used to tell me that too, because like I used to really kind of make a, like, sarcastic jokes about it. And I would find everything else to pray about, and I never really prayed about my own healing. And that was because I didn't have sufficient faith, and I probably was just bluffing myself and saying, well, you know, it would probably happen, and, you know, I didn't approach it the right way. So, like, when I was working at Penta, it was really very hard for me, and, you know, like, I used to feel like if just everything was going wrong, my health was just getting worse, I couldn't stand that job, I couldn't stand anything, I was just feeling like if I was, I don't know, I really can't explain the feeling, just like if I was backed up towards a wall. And then, like, towards 1986, actually, like, I just want to give it, like, in terms of orders, because to me it was an experience I came through, and that's how, when I look back at it now, I could see exactly how, like, God was helping me to build my faith to a place where, like, it would eventually happen, and it wouldn't be like, it wouldn't go down to no doctor that helped me or anything like that. So, in 1986, like, it really, like, the breathing problem that I really used to get scared about, you know, it got so bad that in many cases, like, I had to be taken away from work and sent home, and like sometimes if I was driving and I got like an attack, you know, like on the highway, I'd have to pull off the road and wait, you know, until like I felt normal or something. And like that used to really have me kind of real nervous, because I used to say, Lord, by any moment I could die, you know. And so I just slept like, and then one day in 1986 I was really bad, and a particular night, it was a Wednesday night, and I didn't want to come to service because I knew that it was almost like if that night, I felt like if that was going to be the night where I would really die, you know. And I told Judy, I said, look, I can't go to service tonight. And when I realized it was getting really bad, like my hands would turn blue, and like I'd get so much chest pains, and then my heart would start to race. And so I said, look, Judy, just do me one favor. If you could just drive me to Tabernacle, and maybe I could ask Brother Vin to pray for me. So she said, okay. And well, Mommy and they didn't find it was right for me to leave, especially in the condition I was in. So when I went to service that, you know, that night, I stayed in the car. We were really late because we hadn't intended to go in the first place. And then Brother Vin was in, I don't think he knows this, Brother Vin was having a discussion with someone in the office, and they were playing a tape. So some of the deacon brothers had come, and they had prayed for me. And like before I left home, I told Mommy and the reason I was leaving was that I read them to them James 5, and I told them, look, this is how I believe that the Lord could really work, you know, in my life, like in terms of my healing. And to me, like, I mean, I couldn't find no doctor even the other way, you know, and even if I wanted to. So I just came. But when I went to service that night, I think somehow things turned out in a way that they didn't anoint me with oil, and they did pray for me though, the deacon brothers. And I was at Brother Patrick's place, and I went to him, and well, that night I couldn't sleep, and I was really in a rough, you know, poor condition. So eventually from that in 1987, I just left it like that. I didn't bother to tell Brother Vin anything. And in 1987, you know, it was a place like where job was really getting to me, and then my health, and I used to feel like, you know, like everything just going wrong. So one day at work, I just wanted to get away. I just wanted to leave work. I didn't want to be around. And I know I couldn't, because I had some really important things to do. So there was a conference room that they had just built up. And so I told Brother Lindsay that, you know, he was talking to me, and he was trying to get me to sort of, you know, speak out how I was feeling, you know. And I told him, I said, look, you wouldn't understand. Nobody would really understand this, because, like, I just felt like if I was just so alone, you know. So I went into the conference room, and I carried some of my reports, and I said, look, if anybody come in, you know, they will think I'm writing reports. And I really just wanted to get away to pray somewhere, you know, and I couldn't just do it right there in the middle of the office, just kneel down and pray. So I decided, look, I'll go in the conference room that's, like, more secluded. And when I went, I said, you know, it might sound funny, but I wrote, like, I was, instead of, like, kneeling down on his side, I said, I'll write the Lord a letter. And I was, like, really in tears, and I said, Lord, you know, if anything, I just want to know if you understand what it is I'm going through, if you really care, you know. So that night, I didn't even want to come to service. I just really wished to be very much alone and not wrong anybody. Even in coming towards in the house with Lord, I just wanted to, I don't know if you all could understand that. So Robert Lindsay said, you know, come and encourage me. So I came that night, and that night, well, where Sister Arlene, I think, and her sisters had sung a song, and to me, it just wasn't a nice song, you know. It was something, to me, it was an experience, in the sense that she, I don't know if she remembers it, but she, I never heard her sing it after that. It was, she said, as she was singing, and she said that someone was questioning in his song whether, you know, the Lord understood and whether they cared. And then the Lord answered back and said, I do understand and I do care. And my, I don't know if that's not a miracle. I mean, to me, it was, in the sense that, I mean, you could see, you could have a healing. And to me, the experience of that was like if God heard me then. And to me, that is a miracle, that he could answer back. And, well, it encouraged me, but the pain didn't go. And later on in 1987, well, you know, Bervin had decided that we would fast and stuff. So I was really sort of scared in the beginning because I knew that, well, the doctors had kind of always put into my mind, don't strain my body in a certain way and take your meals on time and, you know, don't lift up anything heavy. So I might ask him, I said, well, I could breathe now and then. You know, because he made me feel like if, well, you can't do nothing, you know. So I said, I came in and, you know, like the Wednesday, when he had announced that we were going to start fasting every Tuesday, I said, look, you know, like when I go to work as a chemist, before I do something that's important, I prepare it the day before. So I decided, look, the reason I'm telling you these things is because I wanted to see the experience I came through. And it's not just like I want to put myself up on no pedestal. So I came and I decided I would fast on the Wednesday. And I had fasted before, but it wasn't like the way Hubert Vinn had said that a fast should be. You know, like I was way back when I was really young, I'd fast from 6 to 6. But that Wednesday, I decided I would fast. And I when I had to come to service, I ate something. And then the following day, I said, Lord, you know, I believe if I went through on Wednesday till 6, at least the way I'm supposed to do it, on Thursday, it would be easier. So I fasted, and then that Thursday, when I came early, and I went into the mother's room, and I was reading one of Brother Branham's books, and I was just, like, lying down on one of the beds, and all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. Like, my heart just started to... Well, I really can't explain it because it really went funny and it stayed that way. So I thought I just continued it and I said, well, I know where my bodies operate. Anything could happen. So I just left it like that. But when I saw about 2 or 3 minutes pass and it wasn't going away, I was getting worse. I said, oh my, something is really happening, you know. And I saw Sister Merle praying and Sister Annabelle and Judy was outside. I said, Judy, look, I'm really feeling real bad, you know. And so she said, well, why don't you just drink a glass of water or something? I said, no, I promise you, Lord, I would fast the right way. And I don't want to take anything. I mean, it was a promise I had made. I wanted to show myself that, you know, regardless of what condition my body in, if I want to do something, God should help me through it if I'm doing it for him, you know. So I asked Sister Mill to come and pray for me. And while she was praying, you know, I was thinking on the Sunday before that, Brother Vin was saying that, you know, when Peter was, had asked the Lord to come out of the boat, and the Lord said, okay, come. He started, eventually, like, he started to like, almost want to sink, and he said, like, if you're called in the line of duty, and you're doing what God has asked you to do, if you're failing at it, or if, like, something is happening, you know, just keep on believing, you know. So I said, look, I'm not going to drink any water, and she prayed for me, and I felt good, and, like, later on in the service, the songs that were sung was, like, He giveth more grace, you know, when the burdens increase. And to me, like, the song service really helps me because to me, it doesn't be songs. To me, I feel like the Lord does select those songs at the right time. And I feel like you should really sing in His spirit, you know, which I hope I do tonight. But eventually, like, you know, I came out from that. I still had the pains in my leg. And the pains used to really be that. I couldn't even, from here to where my car is parked, used to be a painful walk. And I just used to want to get real close, like I would spend most of the time sitting down, and like I didn't want to sit during song service or anything. So, you know, later on in 1988, I decided that I would ask Mervyn to pray for me. It was really getting to a place where, like, you know, in 1988 I'd left Penta, I'd lost my job then, and I was really glad about that. And I felt like if that the Lord allowed it to be that way, in the sense that I really didn't want the job. It used to really hinder me, and I used to be really irritable. I used to be nervous. I think I would probably have gotten a nervous breakdown if I didn't leave there. And, you know, like, decided to, of all the chemists, I mean, there were about four or five chemists, and all of them lived in a room. I was the only one from Princeton, and, like, they would put more pressure on top of me, and I mean that all the rest of them were male, and I was the only female there, and each one of them was assigned to one lab. But they had me in all three labs. They had me on the field doing different, the different consumers when they would get problems. And like in every single area Penta I had to be involved in, and I had to answer questions. They always used to kind of like be down on my throat kind of way, you know. And I was praying, and then they came to me and they says, you're the only one who's going to have to be in all three labs. That means no matter what is going on, no matter where I am, I had to know exactly what was going on. And I realized that I had to be a move of the enemy, because it was already sufficient, the task that I had to do, you know. So that day when they told me that, I'd come and I'd pray to the altar, and I said, Lord, I remember scripture when it said that they made the Israelites to serve with rigor, you know, and they, you know, that the Lord saw their oppressions and he would relieve them. And that same night, when Mervyn came on the pulpit, that was, you know, it wasn't like I read the scripture, it just came to me and I was praying about it, and I said, Lord, that's how I feel. And then he came and he was preaching exactly on that same thing that night. And I said, Lord, I believe you will deliver me from this job. I will leave. And you might want to find out, like, why is that a testimony? Because I know leaving that job did a lot for me, even health-wise. And so in 1988, when I was still sick, I was home now, and I decided, look, let me just, you know, like, ask Brother Vin. I was writing on the book of the Revelation, the Seven Seals at the time, and I started to get so sick. Nobody was at home except Judy and myself. And Judy was seen about something on her car outside in the yard. And I was upstairs writing. And, you know, like, I said, look, I couldn't breathe while I was doing it. My foot and my back was killing me. And I just put on the pencil and I said, Lord, I'm going to call Mervyn and ask him to pray for me tomorrow. So I took a little while before I really did call. And then when I told him, I explained to him, and, you know, I had asked him if he would, in James 5, like, anoint me with oil and stuff like that. Well, he asked me that's what I wanted done, and I said yes. And that Sunday, well, he prayed for me and everything. But, you know, like, when Judy came upstairs, after seeing about her car, I spoke to Judy, and I said, Judy, so that she would expect that on this Sunday, that, you know, when she sees what I've been calling me, she would be aware of it, that it was going to happen. So I said, Judy, you know, I asked Mervyn to pray for me, and I was in talking to her. I said, you know, I feel like the opossum that stayed at Brother Branham's doorstep, you know, just waiting to, you know, for the right time when the prophet would pray for her. So, well, I'm really glad, you know, that, well, Judy knew that even how I'd written the letter, even she shouldn't have read it, but she read it before we came to service, and even like this when I was sent her about the opossum and stuff. So that when I was praying that night, I said, Lord, you know, remember, I've been praying for me on Sunday. Let him say something that could make me feel that you heard and you will answer. No matter how long it takes, it would just be that I would, you know, really be aware that you answered. So when he was praying that Sunday, you know, he said, Lord, and you know how she stood like the opossum there, Father. I mean, he could have said many things that time when he prayed for me, you know. I said, Lord, to me, like, that was, to me, like, everything was, like, every time I doubted and I was wondering if the Lord really cared and if he heard my prayer. And because to me, in my heart, I don't feel like I really deserve, you know, for the Lord to even care sometimes, you know. And, like, when he prayed that, I said, Lord, you know, I just believe you'd answer. So after that, every night, I started to get really worse. And I suppose it's supposed to do that, you know. And so, like, every night before I go to bed, no matter what scripture I would read, I would read James 5 back to myself again. And that lasted for as long as up till now, you know. And Like when I came to Song Service and it would be like, I can't stand anymore. Like Brother Bishop or Brother Brian would be there, like take the same left foot and I would tap it to the rhythm of the music and I say, Lord, you know, it might sound like a stupid thing to do, but to me, the thought came into my mind and I just did it. And like recently, like the last 4 months, I know that like where I couldn't walk properly before, I mean, maybe you all probably see me walk to and fro and probably wondered, well, I wonder what pain, and because many times I tell the saints, because of the pain, sometimes I couldn't even brush my teeth properly, just bending slightly over the sink, couldn't vacuum, I would fall down. I mean, it probably never happened in public, but it happened anyhow. And I knew I couldn't walk, even upstairs or anything. It just used to be like a real dead pain. And when I went to Dr. Adam the first time, the neurosurgeon who I dealt with, when he was testing me, he tested my right leg for reflexes, and I mean, it had a normal reflex at the knee, where they hit your knee and behind your ankle, and you're supposed to have a reflex kick out, you know. And everything was fine with the right foot. And when he tested it, with the left one, there was no movement at all. So he said, he started to hit, you know, all different places. And he said, he says, your foot dead, you know. I say, yes, I know. So he says, so how you walking? I say, with great pain. He says, well, it has to be that, you know, because he said he wanted me to take the surgery. And before he took the surgery, he had to give me this sort of, it wasn't really an operation, but something called a myelogram, where like he inject a foreign dye into the base of your spine and he tilt you and let the dye run straight down to your brain. And so he could, because you can't see nerves in an x-ray, you know, and he would figure out like exactly where the nerve was pinched. And he says like after that, you'd be real sick for about 3 days and throwing up and all that. So I said, I don't even want to do that, much less take the operation. So recently, I went back to him because I knew I was feeling better, and well, he saw that there was a vast improvement. So even from a medical scientific point of view, it has shown that, you know, there is improvement. And I know, like, you know, that blind man where he said, wherein once I was blind, now I could see. I know that now I walk, I could run, I climb stairs, and it really have a pain there. Now, like, in terms of my sight then, the pain in my back, and sometimes like even less frequently than before though, like the breathing problem that I would have, sometimes it's still there, my back still hurts a little bit. And I'm not saying that to reduce the testimony in any way. I'm just saying this, the reason I'm coming up here is because like on principle, I know this has been over a year that Bervin had prayed for me, and there has been great results without any doctor helping me with it. And I know that if it has reached so far, I mean, it's about 95% gone. So I believe it will go. So that's all I went to say, concerning testimony, and then Reverend wanted me to sing a song. So you will just probably help me along, please. Many souls have started out to run this race, but many feet have stumbled, trying hard to keep the pace. At times my step has grown so weary as I watched others pass me by. It makes me wonder who will make it. Is there room for such as I? It's not the one who runs the swiftest, nor the one who shines for days. those who make it in, those who've run the race with patience, casting off the weights of sin. It doesn't matter when we started or how long the race has been. It's the end that's so important. Oh, I've just got to make it in. It's not the one who runs the swiftest, nor the one who shines for days, but the
tremendous blessing. Amen. God just knows how to bless his body. You know, when you see such simple faith, patient in tribulation, glorying in the infirmities, persistent in spite of all obstacles, not complaining. When this is a testified tonight, many, maybe 90% of you may not even know she's be that sick. The point of death sometimes, but that's the way real faith is. Humble, simple faith. And Balaram says, you know, she's there with the dead foot, she will still tap it to the rhythm of the music. You know, right there, just waiting before God. God just knows how to, he's always on time. He just knows how to work things out to bring glory to himself. He gives us a test that we can have a testimony. Amen. That we, each and every one of us, could know that he's real. And certainly we want to hear more of the singing. Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes it comes like, you know, you have resources you haven't tapped yet. So it looks like we have a lot of resources in the church that we haven't tapped. And time we got to open up some of these wells and let the praise of God come out. Amen. Really appreciate that testimony and song tonight. Let's all stand to our feet as we get ready to go. You appreciate being here tonight? Yeah. Amen. Certainly his presence is here amongst us. Amen. All is well. All is well. That Shunammite woman. Oh, she had a dead baby, but she saw the promise of God. She knew where the fountain was. Amen. When the husband asks, he says, what has happened? It is well. Servant asks, he says, is everything all right with you, with your husband, with your child? She says, it is well. Amen. If we have that kind of confession in the midst of all adversity, confess the right thing. Though it kills you. You know, I like the part where she says, you know, I made a promise to God. Bible says, if you make a vow, pay a vow. No vow and then you can't pay. Like blind Bartimaeus. He promised God, Lord, if you heal my wife, I'm going to give you this lamb. The lamb was his eyes. But he's blind. He used that lamb as he used dogs and different things to see, help him get by, was trained. That day he was going up to the temple to offer the lamb, and the priest saw him. He says, where are you going to blind Bartimaeus? He says, I'm going to the temple to offer this lamb. He said, but that's your eyes. You can't get around without that lamb. He said, I made a promise to Jehovah. That if you heal my wife, I'm going to offer this lamb. He says, no, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. I mean, you're going to suffer. You're going to put you in a more distress now. Here's some money. Buy another lamb and offer it up. He says, no, I didn't promise God another lamb. I promised God this lamb. Oh, reason might tell you, no, it's okay. God don't mind. A lamb is a lamb. But real sincerity, going to stay with the word. Though he's slim, yet I'll trust him. And take this kind of faith in the time of trial. It's simple. I know it's a great encouragement tonight to hear a testimony like that. I know there's many others in the assembly scattered out there. May this give you an incentive to testify to what God has done for you. Because this is the hour, you know, where God have brought many truths, refining fires to confirm his word in your life. Amen. And some of you right now might be in the midst of some of those fires. But you can lift your eyes. You can look beyond the dark clouds and know the sun is still shining. When God spoke that solar sun, let there be light. But I said, it have never ceased to shine. Even though you don't see it. Even though dark clouds may obscure it, it's still shining. Amen. And those darkness may come many times and try to depress you, oppress you, frustrate you. Tell you the sun is shining. Maybe God give up on you. No, he's just watching you. He's waiting. Stand here and hold his word true. He's true to every promise. And his promises are true at every gate. He will possess every gate of the enemy. Regardless of what your situation is, yours might not be physical sickness, it might be something else. It might be a domestic problem. But he takes care of those two. Remember how he tells you some of Rebecca praying for Zacchaeus? And he tossed and tossed and tossed and tossed. Hearing about his prophet business and she following this prophet. And that day Zacchaeus come and he camouflaged himself in the tree in the leaves. And Jesus was passing by. And coming down that hallelujah avenue is lined with sycamore trees. But when a certain tree, right on Amen Corner and Glory Avenue, you know, where Hallelujah Street meets. He stopped under that tree and he looked up and said, Zacchaeus! And he called him by, and said, you come down from that tree. I'm going home with you for tea. Amen. Hallelujah! He's still the same. He said, them wives praying for their husbands. God knows to turn them around. Or something real. Them husbands praying for the wives. Parents of the children. Give a true confession of your faith that all is well. Regardless of what it is. The darker it gets, the brighter that morning star shines. In that go-between, when the blackout comes, it's increasing with glory because the coming sun is coming. And the night is catching away. Let me tell you, for the bride, he says, good morning, bride. Shalom. That darkness is going to move back. We are going to burst forth into the great, glorious presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will crown King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. It may look dark right now, children. It may look like you're under a lot of pressure and it's getting greater. But don't you fear. Just keep a true confession. All is well. That faith, he's going to confirm it. He said, Job was on that ash heap waiting for his faith to be confirmed. Faith, waiting with patience. He had a grip on God. What it was? A revelation. He had a perfect revelation of how God loved him. Who God was. And he stood there and sit and cuff him up as hard as he could. But he couldn't move him. I said, my little sister writing from Guyana. He's sick and all kind of injections and doctors and different things. Have a heart murmur. A lot of ministers in Ghana pray for all these things. But maybe coming here, she can go back home well. Nobody planned for her to be here. It came spontaneous. God led Sister Margaret Hart to invite her over. And God just worked. When the airlines, the computer was broken down, she was supposed to come this Sunday, couldn't reach. Now, we are persistent. She came, she's here. Regardless of what your situation is, tonight, He is still Jehovah Rapha. He healed thee of all thy diseases. That's His confession. What is your confession? Could you see all is well? Shalom, all is well. There is a place of perfect rest inside the inner veil. Rest on His word, children. The only place where faith can rest. Rest for all is well. Oh, sing that with real faith. Let the faith be released tonight in God's word. You have heard it tonight. In His presence, confess it in song, an expression of your faith. Look to them dark clouds and see the sun shining. I've heard the message, Shalom, all is well. Oh, that darkness must move back, has to move back. There is a place of perfect rest behind the end of it. Rest in His word. Be anchored. Let your soul be anchored tonight. Tied to your tight posts. Let's lift our hands and sing it one more time. I want to invite Brother Lester Brown to come and pray and ask God blessing this missile tonight. All is well. Oh, that's what we have heard in this darkest hour. A message in peace. Hallelujah. The message, Shalom. Announcing the breaking of a new day. Oh, a bright shining day. No more sickness, no more corruption. There is a place of perfect rest behind the end of it. If you have a special request, hold upon your heart and ask God to pray. Amen. He's a real believer. God has blessed him, bless his family. There's bright shining lights in the church here. As he prayed tonight, you just have faith. Oh, all is well. Make a true confession. Blessed be his name.
Oh, blessed be your most holy name, Father. Oh, how we thank you, Lord, for this privilege we have had here. Of coming into your house, Lord Jesus. Lord, to hear of you in this day, Lord.
Thank you,
knowing,
Lord.
O God, that you are the same yesterday, today,
Hallelujah.
And forever. Oh, that you answer prayer, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, we thank you, Lord, for even the testimony that we have heard this
yes,
night, Lord.
Lord.
Oh, how with faith and patience we can possess every promise that
Hallelujah.
We have made in this day, Lord Jesus. Oh, it only takes willing hearts in this day,
thank you,
Lord,
Jesus.
To believe your word and stand and see it come to pass
thank
as you
Jesus.
Promise it would in this hour, Lord
Hallelujah.
Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for that
Glory.
Grace that you have extended unto us, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, that we could live again, Lord Jesus, that we could believe every promise that
Hallelujah.
You made and see it come
Hallelujah.
To pass in this
Hallelujah.
Day, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
So I pray, Father, that you would meet every need this
yes,
night, Lord,
Lord
Jesus. No matter what it is, Father, you are more than able, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, God, because you cannot fail. Your word is unfailable, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
We bless your name, Father.
Hallelujah.
Oh, honor and glory and praise to you, Lord. That we can serve a living God in this
day, Lord. Glory.
Oh, blessed be your most holy name,
Lord
Jesus. Oh, God, may you continue to abide with us, Father.
Yes,
as
Lord.
As your word goes deep down in our soul, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And we face every situation, every circumstance, Lord.
Hallelujah.
By that word, Lord,
thank
knowing
you,
that you would keep your promise to your
people
in this day.
Thank
so
you,
may you bless us, Lord Jesus,
Hallelujah.
As we go, Lord. That we'd go with this pulsation of faith in our hearts,
Hallelujah.
Lord. Oh, God, we thank you, Father.
Thank you,
oh,
Jesus.
Oh, bless your name this night,
Hallelujah.
Father.
Hallelujah.
We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with thanksgiving. Amen,
amen
and amen.
And amen. Oh, let's lift our hands and praise him tonight. Let's give him glory. Let's know his word is true. Hallelujah. He's a prancing God tonight. Blessed be his name. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We love you and we appreciate you, Lord. We know you hear us always. Oh, God, our prayer come before you with a confession of faith in that promise. You are the infallible God tonight. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory and praise be unto his name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God and He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Praise His name. Let's praise Him, give Him glory.
Mighty God is He, saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Well, is my Redeemer praise.
If He's wonderful, sing it tonight. Let Him know He's wonderful. There's none like Him tonight. Oh, my, turn around and greet somebody. Tell them He's wonderful tonight. Greet your brother and sister in Jesus' name.
Saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise Him.
Oh, He's wonderful, children. His people is wonderful, too.
Wonderful.
Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is Him. Saving me, keeping me from